Welcome to the Rolling Hills Sermon Podcast. The Rolling Hills Sermon Podcast aims to bring the sermon from our Sunday morning service to you each and every week. Whether you're a longtime follower of Christ or just beginning to explore who Jesus is, we invite you to join us as we dive deep into God's Word and what He has to teach us today. So listen in as we jump into what God has in store.
Good morning, church. So excited to continue in our Be Holy series. And today we're talking about our words. And the way I want us to think about this for a second is this, that we live in an economy of words. So look at the statistic for a second. So the average person hears 20 to 30,000 words during the day. So as you're going about your day, depending on if you're listening to podcasts or streaming something or having casual conversations in that course of the day, you're hearing upwards of 30,000 words coming into your ears during the day. Just in this me teaching alone today, you're probably here anywhere between 8,000 and 10,000 words. So I'm going to take up a good number of your words for the day. So you don't have to listen to anything else for the rest of the day after this. So when we listen, we're hearing anywhere from 20 to 30,000 words. When we speak, the average human speaks anywhere between 15 and 20,000 words. Now, there's times when I'm in a small, confined space with my kids. I have four kids where I feel like they're doing 30,000 words a minute. But I'm always learning. I love hearing from them. But it's a lot of words. They have a lot of words to say. But those are just the words we hear. If you add in all the words that we read, that we're reading online, we read through books, we're bombarded by words on a daily basis. So in this economy of words, there is no shortage of words. But in this economy, these words have a value structure. Words have a value structure. What I mean by that is in this economy of words, some words have more value than other words. What I mean by that is there are certain people that we value what they say over other people, and those words have a higher value to us in this economy. Also, when you look at any kind of economy, whatever resource is scarce, whatever there's a shortage of, those things have higher value in an economy. So for us in this economy of words, we do not have a shortage of words. We have an abundance of words. What there is scarcity of is good words, life-giving words, grace-filled words, words that build people up. There is a shortage of those, and those words have more value than you could ever imagine. And if words have value, that means words have power. Words have power. I know you probably heard it said before, sticks and stones can break my bones, but words can never hurt me. That may be true. Words cannot break bones, but they can break hearts and spirits. But what I want you to hear today is this, that as followers of Christ, we are not called to break hearts and spirits with our words. We're called to mend hearts and lift spirits. So as we get into the scripture of the day, the question I want us all to ask together is this. What type of words are we putting into the economy of words? Words that build people up or the opposite? So let's look at scripture today. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 29. As we get into Ephesians, what I want to say is if we were to go to the Bible and look for scripture about words and how we should use our words and how we should have self-control with our words, Proverbs is a great place to look. And there's over 60 occurrences of how we should deal with our words. And I think a lot of the different ideas that you'll see there, we'll see today as we unpack Ephesians 4:29. This is what the Word of God says is, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. Let me stop there for a second. Your translation may say unwholesome talk. It may say corrupting talk. It may say rotten talk. It may say foul language. It may even just go as far as to say evil talk. Any of those things are giving you the circle that you would see this word in, that we would understand it under, unwholesome talk. And where should it not come? It should come out of our mouths. There's none of this unwholesome talk should come out of our mouths, but only what is. It doesn't say, but sometimes for or occasionally. It says, but only what is helpful for building up others according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Or your translation may say, may give grace to those who listen. So as we look at these two ideas of unwholesome talk or helpful for building others up, for us to understand what unwholesome talk means, let's talk first about helpful for building others up. When you think about this idea that our words should have purpose when we speak to others, what is the God-given purpose that he's telling us to do to build others? Picture this. God has a plan for each of us, and that plan is us being fully formed in who he sees the future version of us to be, being holistically formed. So our word should be to that end, to help people being formed into who God would have us to be, this wholeness, this picture of who God sees in us, this building up over time into this fullness. So if we think about our word should be to building people up, so what is the opposite of building people up? It is unwholesome talk, because any words that keep from building to that holistic vision, to that whole picture of who we are, is tearing down from God's vision. So there is two different paths for our words, one for God's vision for people and another. So let's think about it like this for a second. Think about this phrase. Words create worlds. Words create worlds. So if you and I, all of us together, we got together and we decided to start a business together. We said, hey, let's start a business. We decided on what that business would be. One of the first things we would do was sit down and we would ask the question, what do we want this business to be out? So what we would craft is a vision and mission statement. We would want, when people interact with our business or people that work for our business, what kind of world do we want to live in? So we would craft those worlds, that world, through a vision statement by putting these words together, saying this is what type of organization we want to be. In that instance, we have built a world with our words. And in fact, every day with the words we choose to put into the economy of words, we are building a world for people around us to live in with our words. But even more foundational than that, words building worlds has been part of creation since day one. Look at Genesis 1, says this, and God said. So in the beginning of all creation, God chose for his method of building and forming the actual physical creation was communicative. He wanted to do it through words. He spoke. God spoke the world into existence with verbal words. He built the world that we live on with his words. He said, let there be light. Not only that, when he created us as humans, he created us with verbal words, spoke us into existence. Not only that, went farther to say, you know what? The way that we're going to interact with each one another is I'm going to speak to you and you're going to speak to me. We are going to talk to one another. He engaged with Adam and Eve with verbal words. He spoke with them. And then he, not only that, he furthermore said, I'm going to make this creation distinct from all other creation in that they can speak in the way that I speak. That humans will be able to communicate through verbal communications when no other species can't. So when God is speaking, every time you see God speaking, he's always doing three things when God speaks. When God speaks, it always has purpose. And most of the time, it's these three things. If he's speaking to humans, he's speaking for their good, and he's speaking to build them up, and he's speaking for his glory. So every time God speaks, it is for our good, for us being built up, and for his glory. That is always the case. He is always speaking to build people up. God cannot do anything. Even if he is saying you should not do that, he is saying it for our good and his glory every time. So that is one path of words that God created. When he created the world, he created the communicative world for us to exist in and a relationship between him and us of talking to one another. And then we get to Genesis 3 and you introduce the serpent. And what does the serpent do? He has to live in this world of communication that God has built. And it says, now the serpent said to the woman. Now, when you think about the word that it uses, unwholesome talk, the reason I gave you all the different range of meanings of that word, because it could mean corrupt, it could mean rotten, because a lot of times when that word that they use in the original text, it's about fruit. And it's about rotten fruit. It's about fruit that's been corrupted that you cannot partake anymore. So the words that are unwholesome are words that are corrupted. The serpent comes in and says to the woman, the beginning of corrupting talk. Because if God's purpose every time his speak is for our good and his glory and building us up, when the serpent begins to create this new world of corrupting talk, this is the origin of all corrupting talk. He seeks to corrupt the world through his speech by saying, did God really say? Satan's first line to corrupt the world with unwholesome corrupting talk was to question the good word of God. Did God really say? And what God had told them was, everything in the garden is good for you, but this one thing. And Satan says, are you sure that's what he said? He questions the good word of God and says, maybe this thing is good for you, and begins to corrupt the world. And what I want you to see from what I'm saying here is this, that our words only have two possible paths. There are no neutral words we can use. We're either aligning with the path of God, which is for good, for building others up, and for his glory, or corrupting and tearing others down. That we have to sit back and ask ourselves the question, if words create worlds, that it created the physical world, it created the communicative world, and that every time we speak a word into the economy of words, we are creating an environment to people to live in. So the question we have to wrestle with today through the Holy Spirit, through God's word, is what type of environment are we creating with our words? With the people in our circles of influence, people in our life, what type of world have we created for them to live in by the words we're using? I mean, I can imagine one day at the end of all things, God has a list of every word I've ever said, and he's looking through it like this going, whew, that's rough stuff in here, bro. You said that to a person? Or picture all of us at the end of all things, a stack of papers, everything we've ever said. What type of world would we have created with the words that we use? Think about your professional life. If you work and you're in part of an organization, what do people think about the world that you've created with your words for the people that you work with? Whether you're a leader or just an employee there, like when you go into a room, what type of words are you putting into that situation? Are you the one who goes into the room, the first thing you say is a negative thing, and then the whole rest of the meeting and everything is negative? I've never done that personally, but maybe some of you struggle with. So in our professional world, what kind of world are we creating in our workplace? Or what about our social surroundings? When you and your friends are together, what kind of words are you putting into the economy of words? They say, you want to know what you're going to be like in 5 years? Who are the people you're hanging out with? I'm sure your language, you start to talk like the people around you. What type of world are you creating in your social settings? Because at the end of the day, our words are so valuable, our words are so important. We have to step back and say, what kind of words am I putting into the world? And then we zoom in a little further and we see a place where our words are even more important. That the words in our home are more valuable than we could ever realize. The words that we're speaking in our home, the world and environment we're creating with the type of words we say are more important than we could ever realize. We think, like if we have kids, we think they're not listening. Oftentimes it feels like they're not listening because I have to tell them the same thing over and over and over. But they are listening. They're taking it in. We may not know it, but they are. Recently, my 11-year-old, he frequently starts out negative when he says stuff. And he came into a room and he was like, here's the problem. And I was like, why is there always going to be a problem? Why do we have to start with the problem? Can we start with something positive instead? Let's find the good. Let's start there. And he was like, oh, it's a frequent conversation. I'm like, where does he get this from? It's so frustrating. And then soon after that, this conversation, I walked into the room and I was talking to my wife and I said, here's the problem. She said, I found it. I found it. Instant conviction. But it's something we all struggle with, is what type of words we're putting in our family. Because I think if I sat down with each of you one-on-one, I'm willing to bet that we could find some words that a family member, mother, father, brother, sister, growing up, spoken to you that are still echoing around in your head back and forth, that you're still wrestling with. Maybe something negative and derogatory towards you, and something you started to believe yourself about yourself. Or maybe it's a positive thing, someone encouraged you and is still bouncing around in there, but it matters. Our words matter. I still struggle with something somebody said to me in third grade. He was so mean, and I still believe it. I thought my shoes were cool, but he didn't. But I hold on to those thoughts. We all have thoughts like that, something someone told us, and they're just echoing around in our head. But my counselor said what my third year grade friend told me, that I'll get through it eventually. That's what he said. But sometimes those words that are echoing around in our head just have more value than other things. Like, for example, my father passed away last September, just a sudden heart attack. And maybe if you've lost a loved one, or especially a parent, you've dealt with this, to where my immediate things that I started struggling with was the things I wish I would have said to my father. The collection of words I wish I would have put out there that he knew. And at the same time, a huge collection of words I wish he would have said to me. And maybe you're like me and you have some words that you wish your parents would have said to you. Maybe there's some words left unsaid with family members that are still living, and they're just the most simple of words, but they have the highest value. And maybe it's something like this: I love you. Or maybe it's, I'm sorry. Or maybe it's, I forgive you. Those words are so simple, but they have so much value, and they have even more value when who they are coming from. You know, in my dad's first portion of life in our relationship, he never really said, I love you to me, that I can remember. And he never really said, I'm proud of you. And I spent the majority of my life either trying to gain those words of love and him being proud of me, or going down the path when I started getting trouble in my life of me not caring anymore. It's like, I don't need anyone's love. I don't need anyone to be proud of me. All I care about is me. But those words deeply affected me. And to the end of his life, which he didn't know it was the end of his life, and neither did I, for some reason, something clicked in his heart and brain. And every time I talked to him on the phone, he always, even if it was awkward at the end, for some reason, ended it with, Jacob, I love you and I'm proud of you. And those are the words that are now echoing around in my brain. And my kids, I tell them I love you all the time, too much, like 100 times a day. They're never going to have to go to counseling because I didn't say I love you. They're going to counseling for way different reasons, but not that. So because I knew that these words are in our home are so intentional, I've been really intentional with my kids. That every morning when they wake up, and I'm not saying this to praise myself, I'm just saying this is what I've done because I realize the importance of words. Every day when they wake up, my 11-year-old and my 8-year-old, I make sure that they're reading their devotion. I want them, the first words they hear in the morning, I want them to be good words, life-giving words, gospel-driven words, to where they're reading a devotion every day in the morning. So I ask them not to be legalistic, because I really want them, as they're being formed in their humanity and formed in their spiritual life, to have these moments of having good words that they're intaking into their heart. So we do that every morning. But then all four of them, the 11-year-old all the way to the 2-year-old, before they leave for school, I ask them the same question every morning. Some mornings it's busy, I don't get it, but the majority of mornings I ask them this question: what are we going to do today? What are we going to do? And I've done this since my 11-year-old was born, just every day digging this ditch to let the water flow to this. And they respond in unison every morning this: listen, learn, love, and lead. And here's the thing. They're still forming in their mind. They're still forming in their spiritual life. They don't understand fully what this means, but often I'll stop and just sit on one and say, hey, let me explain what I mean by listen. And I'll sit with them for a second, and then the next time I'll talk about learn and love, that I want us to be people that we listen first before we speak. that we're slow to speak, that we want to hear others, that we want to listen to them. And we listen for what purpose? To learn, because God wants us to be growing individuals, learn more about his world, learn more about ourselves, and gain knowledge. And when we move from that is when we've listened, when we've learned, then we can truly love others. And when we truly love others, we help to lead others to those same things, to their formation. They don't understand that, but hopefully one day, I've been so intentional with my words, one day when they're older, they'll look back and say, man, my dad was really intentional about the words he taught me and the words he used towards me. And then they go turn and do the same for their children. After I do this, I say, what are you going to do today? They repeat this and I respond, and I'm going to go do the same, that I would not teach you anything that I don't need to go and do myself. And I don't tell you this because this is perfect. There's other words you can use. I say that because maybe, just maybe, you need to sit down and be intentional with your family and say, this is who we're going to be about. This is the world we're going to create with our words. So back to the idea of our words being valuable in the home. There's other people that live in your home besides your kids. If you're married, your spouse lives there. And the truthful thing is, if you're married, there is no greater depositor into your economy of words than your spouse. Now, those words may be positive deposits or negative deposits. That's between you and your spouse to wrestle through. But there is no one, let me say it like this, there is no one who needs to be built up by you than your spouse. And there's no one that needs to build you up more than your spouse. Because here's the thing, as you see, sadly, in this work of ministry, you've seen so many families fall apart. And oftentimes what happens is the words that a spouse needs to hear, they stop hearing it or never heard it from their spouse, and they go find the need for those words somewhere else. And I'm not saying that so you'll be afraid that your spouse is going to go find those words somewhere else. I'm saying that so you would know how desperately, as humans, we were created to hear those words from the people we love, so that you would invest in your spouse to be the chief encourager, the chief builder up, the chief one pouring in saying, I love you, I believe in you, you're doing a great job. That is our call as spouses, to invest in each other in that way. And at the same time, there's one more person that lives in your house, and this is of extreme importance, and it's you. Because at the end of the day, just as important are the words we're speaking to ourselves. And I don't mean that in a self-help way. I mean it in this way. No one talks to you more than you do. We always have this inner dialogue of what we're telling ourselves, and we're telling, and it may be words that we've captured from others speaking to us, negative words, words that are discouraging, that we're playing over in our head, and then we start to believe those words, and we start to speak those words back to ourselves. Maybe I can't do this. Maybe I'm not enough. Maybe I am unworthy, and we're speaking these words to ourselves. Well, brothers and sisters, that is corrupting, rotting talk that God does not want us to speak to ourselves, because the number one antidote to that type of self-talk is not self-help. What it is preaching the gospel to yourself daily, to where we can filter the words of the world and say, that is not true what you say about me. You say I'm unworthy, or God says I'm worthy. You know how worthy I am? That God sent his son to die for me. That's how worthy I am. I will never believe that I'm unworthy. I never believe that I can't do this, because God says that even if I can't do it, I'm going to be there with you. We preach the gospel to ourselves daily to fight back discouragement. Because the truth of all of this is this, that before our words can change, our hearts must change. Before our words can truly change from the corrupting way of the serpent to the building up, encouraging word of God, is for our hearts to change. Look what Jesus says. Back to the idea of rotten fruit and corrupting fruit. Look at this. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. A good man brings good things out. A good man's words are good, and the good is stored up in his heart. It's the overflow of the heart. Look at the next portion of this. And an evil man brings evil things out of stored up in his heart, for the mouth speaks of what the heart is full of. Or like a lyric of a song I remember, it goes like this. The glass can only spill what it contains. What comes out of our mouth is what's in our heart. So if we still have gossip and pride and slander and malice and cursing and these things coming out of our glass, because that's what's in our heart. And I'm not saying that for any other reason than to say, if that is true and the words of your mouth look more like the serpent than that of God, that means there's still work for God to do. And I say that as this being so convicting to me, because I do not always say the right things. I still speak out of anger. I still speak out of pride. I gossip. But here's the thing. As God is changing my heart and redeeming my heart, I praise be to God that hopefully it is less today than it was yesterday. That He slowly, by the power of their Spirit, removing those things out of my glass so where they come out less, and the water is more pure than it was before. But I am not perfect. I still struggle with these things. If you brought my wife up here, she'd be like, yeah, he's not perfect. He says dumb things all the time. Because I know there's going to be a time later this week when I'm talking, I haven't thought about it, and she stops me and says, hey, what was it that you preached about this past Sunday? It's coming. It's accountability. I love it. I just know it's coming. I know me. So we want our hearts to change so that our words can change, because this is also true. That when God redeemed our words, when He redeemed our life. That when He died on the cross to redeem us holistically as people, our words have to change with it. Our words are called to be different because He redeemed us. So we're studying Ephesians 4:29 about no unwholesome talk should come out of our mouth, only for what's building it up. But if we rewind a little bit to earlier in Ephesians 4, look what it says. It says, you were being taught with regard to your former way of life, to put off your old self. Basically saying that before you were in the fallen world, you were living in the fallen world, your voice was mirroring the fallen world, you were the way of the serpent, you talked with corrupting words. That was your old way. Now things have changed because of the blood of Christ. You are now to put off the old self. Because look, with the old self, it was being what? Corrupted. Your words with it, the corruption, the rotten talk, it all comes back that you were corrupted. What was corrupting? Your deceitful desires, your sin was corrupting your language, that your words needed to be changed. But now you're going to be made new in attitude of your minds to put on the new self, a new way of speaking. With a new self comes a new heart and a new mouth, a new way of speaking. How? Created to be like God, that you were formerly speaking like the serpent. Did God really say with the holistic corruption of our words? And once we are redeemed, we are to be changed to be like what? To now be like God. And our words are to be good for the building up of others and for the glory of God. The old self is one path of words, and the new self is to be like God. What is God like? Righteous and holy. That God wants to change our hearts. He wants to change us from the old self to the new self and change our words with it and make our words like His for the good of others. So how do we do that, Jacob? Here's my first practical suggestion to you. To direct your first words to God so the Spirit can direct the rest of your words. So if God created this world for us to be communicative with Him, to talk to Him and Him talk to us, this is what we call prayer. And my practical suggestion to you is, before you do anything else, if we want to change our words, to let our first words be to Him as our Creator before we talk to anyone else. I know we always joke, hey, don't talk to me before I've had my coffee, which is also true. Don't talk to me before I've talked to the Lord. And let Him guide our hearts. And Him guide. So we go to Him in prayer first and say, Lord, I want You to guide my words today. And here's a perfect prayer to be the template of your prayer from Psalms. May these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing to Your sight, O Lord, my Rock and Redeemer. What if we lived in a world where followers of Christ started their day by praying this psalm and say, Lord, I pray that my heart matches my words and that they both together are pleasing to Your sight, Lord. What would the world look like if that's how we started our day, to pray to Him and let the Spirit guide and be the filter for the rest of our words? So here's some other practical suggestions, ways to pursue holiness through our words. The first one is this: be watchful over our words. Be watchful over, well, what does a watchman do? He sits at the gate and he is watching everything going out, but he's also watching everything coming in. So if we're watchful over our words, we're watchful over the things we're saying, but we're also watchful over the things we're allowing to hear. The things, the input, the investments into our ear, we're watching those things. Because being watchful over our spiritual life, which is really a theme in Scripture of the spiritual practice of watchfulness, is being watchful over the things we say, but also watchful over the things we write. I know sometimes we get on this thing called the internet and we feel safe to write things we would never say to someone's face, but in the same way, what world are we creating with our words? We need to be watchful of the things we write, the things we say, the things we hear, the things we read. In Luke 17, Jesus is talking and he says, temptation's gonna come. Temptation's gonna come, but he says, woe to those who the temptation comes through. He says it's bad if that's the case. If you've brought temptation on others, that's not good. But at the end of that, he says this phrase. He says, watch yourself. And part of ourself is our words. You know, when I was in high school, I got in trouble a lot. And I remember this one teacher saying to me, every time I would start messing with somebody in the class or messing with her, she would say, watch yourself. I had no idea she was quoting Jesus, but she was speaking truth to me. She was speaking truth to me. But this is Jesus telling us to be watchful over our words, reminding us that our words have power, our words have value. And this, be intentional with our words. Being intentional with our words. What this means is we know that our words have power, and us deciding what we will do with that power. What will we do? We'll be intentional about the words, saying, God, here are my words. What do you want me to do with those words? You know, for me, joking about being in high school, I got in trouble a lot. I was headed in the wrong direction. And frequently, I had teachers that were just fed up with me saying, son, you're not going to amount to anything. Son, you've wasted your life. I don't know what you're still doing here, speaking these words, and if you have enough people speaking words like that to you, you start to believe them. But I can tell you three people at that same school, a teacher, a resource officer, and a coach, who frequently looked me in the face and said, I don't believe what they're saying about you. I believe God has a plan for you. Jacob, I believe in you. And ever since that moment, I have fought the urge to believe what they said about me, instead held on to the valuable words that they spoke to me and said, I believe in you. And somebody looking at you in the face and saying, I believe you, is one of the deepest foundational pieces of change for another human being. Because if no one believes you and you don't believe in yourself, it is really hard to change. But knowing that at least one and maybe three people believed in me gave me the foundation. I truly believe I wouldn't be standing here today if it wasn't for them. And building on that foundation, when my wife and I, we knew each other in high school and she knew I was crazy, and we reconnected later on, and I told her about that God had saved me. He had called me to ministry. I was very new in my faith and we were living apart. We were long distance dating, and I still have a letter she sent to me saying, Jacob, I know this is hard. I know it's going to be hard, but I believe in you. And I read it frequently because when I became a Christian, I still had a lot of friends around me that weren't believers. And they said, this isn't real. You're going to go back to doing the things you did before. I don't believe in you. But I looked and I held on to the words of my spouse, my future spouse, invested me with the word saying, I believe in you. And what I believe is this, that everybody in this room has someone that they need to hear the simple words like, I believe in you. Or maybe it's, I'm proud of you. Or maybe it's, I love you. Or maybe it's, I forgive you. But I hope that today God has put on your heart that your words are valuable. And there's people that need to hear those words in your life. So I think Jesus gave us the greatest filter of how we should talk to others in Matthew 7 is this. So in everything, and I'm pretty sure our words include everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and prophets. So I'll say it like this. Jesus would have us think about it like this. Speak to others the way you would have others speak to you. Talk to your kids the way that you hope they talk to you. And in fact, talk to your kids the way you wish your parents would have talked to you. Talk to your spouse the way you hope they talk to you. Talk to your coworker the way that you hope they talk to you. Talk to your neighbor the way that they would hope they would talk to you. God gave us this simple template to treat others the way we want to be treated. Because this is also true, that the right word at the right time can change the world. The right word at the right time can change the world. And in the same way, the wrong word at the right time can change the world. The word launch at the right time could change the world. But also the right word at the right time can change the world. Stop. Don't. And if this is true, that the right word at the right time can change the world, then this is also true. That the right word at the right time can change a life. So as we go back to the original question that we answered here today is this. What type of world, what type of environment are we creating with our words? My prayer is that hopefully, if you're anything like me, you've been convicted to be intentional and watchful of our words, that our words are for the good of others, for building people up, and for God's glory. Let's pray. Lord, we are grateful for your word. We are grateful for your word you've given us, that you speak to us, that you've spoken to us so clearly through your word, Lord, that you have communicated the gospel to us so clearly, Lord, that we can take hold of it, Lord. Would we begin to preach that gospel to ourselves, Lord, that you loved us so much, that you sent your son, and that we are so highly valued, and let all the words of our heart that we flow to others flow out of that truth to know how much you love us and how much you sacrifice for us, Lord, that we understand grace and that our words be flowing with grace so that those who hear can also take hold of that grace, Lord. Lord, change our hearts and change our words for the people around us good and for your glory. And we ask this in your name. Amen. Hey, if you're helping with the offering, if you could come forward at this time. As they're doing that, I just want to remind you of something, that when you give to Rolling Hills, you're giving, a large portion of what you give goes to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. What is always the right word at the right time? It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when you give to Rolling Hills, a lot of that money goes to taking the gospel to the ends of the earth. And one of those places is Moldova, where that gospel goes. So we partner with Justice and Mercy International to do missions in Moldova. And I was recently able to go on that trip and go see in person the difference your resources make to take the gospel to those who need it, to give resources to those who can't care for self, to provide shelter and food and care. And I say all of that to say thank you. Thank you for making a difference for your resources. That's taking the word of Jesus to the ends of the earth. And I just want to thank God for that right now. Lord, thank you so much for allowing us to be a part of your mission, not just here in Middle Tennessee, but all the way to the ends of the earth, Lord. Let all of our resources be an offering to your throne, Lord. And at the same time, let our words be an offering, a fragrant offering to your throne for your glory. And we ask this in your holy name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Rolling Hills Sermon Podcast. Be sure to share this episode with any friends and family who may benefit from it. And make sure you subscribe to be notified so you never miss a sermon. If you want to learn more about Rolling Hills, download Church Center, our Rolling Hills app, follow us on social media, or visit our website at rollinghills.church. The Rolling Hills Sermon Podcast is a part of the Rolling Hills Podcast Network, available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Google Podcasts. Thanks for tuning in.